Amen. Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very, very much for blessing us with this time to be together on Sabbath day. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for helping us physically and spiritually. Many of us are dealing with physical and spiritual problems. And please bless everyone on our prayer list, those that were mentioned earlier in the children's text, as well as here in the adults and the kids. And thank you, Father God, for so much, for opening our eyes. I mean, there's things happening, Father, that the overwhelming majority of the people have no clue. It's all happening, just like Jesus said. They're just living life like there's no big difference. And we know it's going to be like this all the way up until the plagues and during the plagues, for those that survive the plagues up to the end. And so, thank you, Father, for blessing us and hearing us and being with us right now and changing the showbread. We offer this prayer and this praise unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. One more thing I forgot to mention. Because Fran just came in and reminded me, you might want to turn off a couple of things in the text chat, like those little boop noises that you keep hearing every time somebody puts something in the text chat. Click the three dots, go down to the gear, scroll down to where it says enter, leave, foreground, background, all that. I always, the two top ones have been disconnected. In this one, I got them all turned off because... please don't send PMs to SDR kids. It's just there for the stream to see people chatting, you know. And so, but yeah, just the two top ones you want to, because the enter and leave thing, it sounds like a tambourine in the distance. And the foreground is whenever anybody puts something in the text chat. That's good if you're having a private conversation with somebody, you know, like during the week and you come in here, yeah, and you walk away, you want to know when they answer the question. Or if you get in a PM, then yeah. All those background, the last three you want to leave on, so in case someone sends you a PM, and while you're having a PM, there's other sounds that happen when they respond to you or you respond to them. So just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Okay. Thanks for sharing there, Eli. Nice pick. So anyway, let me get the chat room where it's supposed to be over here. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you noticed this. For anybody that... you don't have that part in yours. What part is that, Sister Lee? Oh, and by the way, if you notice the SAB is missing, I figured it out. Remove all backgrounds. And it allowed me. And so I did. And then, boink, it was gone. So no more of that distracting SAB in the background, which is just short for Sabbath services. All right. Let me get here. Oh, and by the way, especially since it's testimony Sabbath, I'm not going to be doing any reading anymore after the sermon, if you will. But today it's not going to be a sermon; it's going to be testimonies for those that are on turbo and have access to the mics. I it's too much talking, you know. And it stresses out my system because I've got some things going on right now. And so I can't remember who it is, but one of the brothers is going to be reading from Spirit of Prophecy. But there's going to be like a 15-minute break for everybody to just, you know, get something to eat or, you know, do whatever you got to do and then come back to the room. And so things are going to be changing a little bit. And plus one of the brothers are going to be sharing a sermon once a month too. So... on the 17th, which is the next sermon, if you think about it, because on the 10th of this month, we're having communion, and that's a week from now. So please don't forget, get your unleavened bread, get your grape juice, and get something to wash your feet with whoever's there with you. And if no one's there with you, that's fine. Just get your communion stuff ready if you've already been baptized. And so that's next week. And then the week after that, I was supposed to preach a sermon. But one of the brothers stepped up, and so the week after that is Q&A. And so I'd still do the Q&A and the studies and stuff. So So anyway, this Sabbath. Oh, let me see. The background is bright. It is there at the... Yeah. It says notifications are English like yours. So you got to scroll down to the bottom. So you see all these things down here? There's a gear. Scroll all the way down. You'll see it. Everybody should have them, I hope. I don't know. Maybe it's because... I don't know, even know if you can do a PM. I got to check the logs on how I created... There's visitors, there's members slash friends, moderators, and of course guests, but the guest thing, I turned it off. And for some reason, I'm admin, but it looks as I'm a guest. It's so, something goofy there. So anyway, this Sabbath, and no doubt the next few Sabbaths as well, I think it's good for us to take a walk with Christ, get a little closer to him in regards to realizing how he's not just our creator, he's also our redeemer. And I know, we all know this stuff. And even the babes know this stuff. But there's some things that go a little deeper than just knowing that Jesus Christ is Savior and Redeemer. But right off, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And by the way, the word God in this very first verse of the Bible is from the Hebrew word Elohim, which is plural in nature. We're not talking Trinity here either. That's plural. Trinity is singular. That's why Satan invented it, because Satan can only come as a single God to the earth, claiming to be Jesus. But when that eastern sky splits, everybody's going to know what's up. Even him. Well, he already knows. He was hanging out in New Jerusalem before he fell. And so those that declare Jesus isn't a God and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, and they repeatedly declare there is only one God, well, so does the Satanist, the Catholic, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Jew, and even the Muslim. They all declare that. The very first verse in the Bible, no less. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 words in. The fourth word in the Bible literally declares they are in fact echoing a lie that Satan has perpetrated so as to be worshipped as the One, as he is called in many satanic books that are freely being printed in the bookstores the world over now. I remember I couldn't believe it back, and this is when I was a baby Christian in the mid to late 80s. I went into a bookstore because I was going to put tracts in the religious books because people are already looking for religious answers. But these religious books, you know, like it was like Pat Robertson and all those, Hal Lindsey, that crowd, you know, that some of them are still alive, obviously. Well, both of those two guys are, which amazes me with Pat Robertson, the mercy of our God. That guy is super duper false prophet. He has made so many claims in writing about certain things supposed to happen. So did Hal Lindsey. But yet they call these guys prophets, and everything that they prophesied failed. Everything. And so... But yeah, these books, I couldn't believe it. I was in there, you know, sticking tracks in these religious books, and I came across this one small little rinky-dink section off to the right. They had a bunch of black books in it with pentagrams, and I knew what that meant. And so I went up to it, and it was the Satanic Bible. Unbelievable. And so, yeah, and now it's, yeah, they probably got a whole row just for the occult. And they did have a row, a short row for the occult back then too, but it was just, I mean, maybe half a shelf, and it was mostly just witchcraft. But they had that thing with the like a corner, an aisle edge, but this was off, tucked off into a corner where you had to really look for it to find it, which was nice. But you know, who wants to see that garbage? But anyway, Satan is obviously a false god, and he too claims many different names so as to appeal to many different people. He has names like Baal, you know, Chemosh, Molech, Dagon, Marduk, Allah, Ashtaroth, or Easter, or Astarte, however you want to say it, because that's how they call him today. You know, Easter is actually Astarte, or Ashtaroth. It's a pagan god. And they worship Easter on the first full moon of spring the following Sunday, or the day of the sun, is dedicated to the pagan goddess Eostre, or Easter, or Ashtaroth, or Astarte. And so so there's a host of many other privately conjured demons of those that seek to glory in the occult. So Like if you've known anybody or if you yourself were involved in the occult before becoming a Christian, you know about some of these. I guess some people would call them lesser demons or unknown demons, but they're just as strong as the other demons. It's just that they have different duties, and people fall for this fall draw. And so, but all these false gods are unable to create anything. All they can do is destroy that which was already created by our God. In fact, Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 11 and 16, and I thank you in advance, Brother Sean, for putting the Bible verses in the room. But Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 11 and 16 says, "The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name." So, amen. Well, that's neat. So, and Jeremiah 14, if you want to jump down there, Jeremiah 14, verse 22 says that are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Seriously. I love the way he puts that. Or can the heavens give showers? Are not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. You know, some like the Greeks of old, you know, even declare loyalty unto an unknown God, as we know. We saw what Paul had to say. As a matter of fact, I'm going to jump there in a minute here, Acts 17. But, this is especially strange in that they do declare a God exists. And being Greeks, one would think they would search him out so as to know him by name, for the Greeks were known back then, 2,000 years ago, to delve into things the uninterested or unlearned. You know, the unlearned cannot grasp due to the, you know, lack of study, because a lot of people didn't even know how to read back then. And so they prided themselves on their education and their knowledge, and, you know, that was one of their, and still is, a major issue for a lot of people. So, but anyway, Acts 17, verses 22 to 29, I'm going to share. What is that, a keyboard with music next to it? That looks nice. So, that pick that Brother Sean put in. All right, so Acts 17, verse 22 to 29. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." And in the NIV, they changed that to religious. If you remember, those of you who used to have NIV, it's because that is like a Strong's Concordance kind of spin-off on the word, the Hebrew word. I can't remember what the Hebrew term is for superstitious, but it's a good example of that today would be Catholics, Roman Catholics. You know, the way they mix paganism with Christianity and all that, everything from genuflecting to scapulars. Yeah, it's just amazing how much superstition is involved. But anyway, verse 23 says, going on, For as I passed by..." Now, Paul's talking to the Greeks. He says, "As I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him." Worship, and then him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. And then he goes on to say that he dwells not in temples made with hands. See, that's another thing the Roman Catholic Church has a problem with. Their Eucharist, or their host, if you will, are made by nuns. And then they declare that Jesus Christ jumps in there when they do their transubstantiation, which is just a fancy word for hocus pocus. It's falderal. Jesus is not in that host. And he can't pull Christ off his throne. It's just no, because that's transubstantiation declares that even if the priest or the Pope himself... even if these priests in the Catholic Church are child molesters or even murderers, Christ has to listen to them, get off his throne, jump into that little cookie so they can hand him out. Nowhere in the Bible. But it's all over the place in paganism. And so the Bible clearly says Jesus Christ is not in temples made with hands. So verse 25 on, it says, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And that, you know, racists need to check that verse out. Verse 26. I mean, that gets me. And they murder each other because of the color of their skin. But can't you see the red stuff oozing out of them after you stick a bullet in your body? Same color as yours. It's just amazing. But going on, it says, and hath determined the times before appointed, you know, like all the prophecies as well as the kingdoms. You know, I would think, remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream. You know, even the elite know about it, Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. That's why they're doing what they're doing today. And so, and then going on, it says, and the bounds of their habitation, which, by the way, this can be defined as, you know, like mountains, seas, rivers, or even historic timing for their prosperity, you know. And so the bounds of their habitation is like as long as they're here. And so that they, verse 27 says, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him. And though he be not far from every one of us, which is the mystery of Christ, which the atheists can't understand, because when we say we met Christ, they can't wrap their brain around it because he doesn't visibly appear. And to them, that's just falderal. So verse 28 goes on to say that, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In other words, only a false god is created using gold, silver, stone, or wood. I mean, the creator cannot be created. That's what always amazed me about people that, you know, have false gods in their homes, like you know, like Buddha and Molech and others. I mean, even the Pope recently placed Molech in front of the Colosseum for all to see. I did a video on that in 2019. Big old golden statue of Molech right in front of the Roman Colosseum. Only the Pope can do that because he owns that. And so, and by the way, Molech is the god of child sacrifice, and the Pope placed his image before all the world that day because, as we know, now that the man of sin is revealed, as prophecy said he would be in our day, the Pope is not just a Satanist, he's also one that openly honored an abortion activist on camera, and most of them are Satanists. They love to kill children. An ex-Satanist explained that in a video that I put up too as well. He says the only reason he became an abortionist is because he knows if he can kill humans, he gets more blessings from Satan, more power. That's why millions of kids are getting killed every year. And so it's no surprise now that the Pope's wound is healed, that he would place that demon god Molech on display for all the world to see. But yet the SDA leaders are saying, I'm crazy for saying the wound was healed. And I did a video back about the wound being healed years ago when the Pope ended up on the cover of, Rolling Stone magazine and Time magazine as well. But anyway, when it comes to prophetic utterance or even a single word of doctrine that nary a false god can do, I mean, how does he even answer their prayers? But, I mean, even if mankind was to ignore all the prophecies that led up to our day, how can they ignore the last few prophecies that are fulfilling right before their eyes, you know, as we speak it? Well, sadly, that's quite easy to see, as yet another prophecy is being fulfilled, and all the people that cannot see what we see are, in fact, fulfilling that prophecy, which is found in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. Okay, hold on. How are we for a leg? Let me just check. So 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. Says this, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In other words, Satan will be, and I've seen a lot of these 7-year tribulation, secret rapture preachers use this verse out of context, but Satan will be allowed to do as he pleases through the popes on earth before the eyes of man until the Lord splits the sky and he's taken out of the way, as it says. In fact, notice what it says in Review and Herald back in 1888. I'll put this in the room. This will test the depth of how strong this text chat is in regards to how many characters I could put in. I think Mandy kind of showed that. I think it looked to be about 200 or so. But I can, if I could find it, I'll beef it up. But let me put it in the room here. See if it'll fit. Looks like it ain't going to fit. Let's give it a moment. Nope, it did not fit. So it stopped to dig for the truth as you saw. Okay, so I have to fix that. I think it's set at 200, and I'll fix it later after Sabbath. So where does it leave off here? So dig for the truth as you would for... Oh, wow. That's not even 100 characters. All right, so I'm going to read it. This is, I'll put the source in the room. That way, those of you that want to check it up later, please do. It's going to be right there, and it's actually, for those of you on WTBR and or the stream, that is Review and Herald, April 3rd. What's the date today? Praise the Lord. So, you know, this is Review and Herald, April 3rd, 1888, paragraph 9. This is what I'm going to read. So it says, the time is coming when Satan will work miracles right in your sight, claiming that he is Christ. And if your feet are not firmly established upon the truth of God, then you'll be led away from your foundation. The only safety for you is to search for truth as for hid treasures. Dig for the truth as you would for treasures in the earth, and present the Word of God, the Bible, before your Heavenly Father and say, enlighten me, teach me what is truth. Seriously, say that, but you know, you don't necessarily have to do a canned prayer, if you will. That's not what she's saying here. Ask him to reveal, open up your eyes, ask him to bless you, as well as your focus, your wisdom, and retention, especially when you get to my age. And so going on, it says, and when his Holy Spirit shall come into your hearts to impress the truth into your souls, you will not let it go easily. Amen. How about that? You have gained such an experience in searching the scriptures that every point is established, and it is important that you continually search the scriptures. You should store the mind with the Word of God, for you may be separated in a place where you will not have the privilege of meeting with the children of God, let alone, you know, have a Bible. So you're going to rely heavily on John 14:26 when you're scared or, you know, in a dungeon or where, like a jail or something. But if you've read the Bible many times before you got to that jail, he's going to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever you said unto him. And that's John 14:26. He's going to do it because he promised. So, finishing, she says, then you will want the treasures of God's word hidden in your hearts. In other words, when you're not with your brothers and sisters or you're in a jail, she says, it's then you're going to want the treasures of God, you know, his word written in your hearts. And when opposition comes around you, you will need to bring everything to the scriptures. And so in continuing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that's still in the room there, we read, oh, this is verse 9. What did I say just 11 and 12? 9 and 10, 11 and 12. Okay, I'm confused. So, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. A lot. I mean, this one passage alone proves the Jesuit concocted lie called the secret rapture is in fact a lie. It clearly says here that Christ comes after the devil has his heyday with all the signs and lying wonders. But the Jesuits say no. As a matter of fact, I thought I found a nice little Bible app on my cell phone, and it had a bunch of questions. It's just, say, you know, a bunch of questions about God, a bunch of questions about Jesus. When I got to God, I figured, oh, man, they're going to start talking Trinity. But they didn't. They believed the same way we do in regards to three separate beings in the Godhead, three separate gods, right? And, I mean, even the Nebuchadnezzar said he looked like the son of the gods when he was looking in there. When he saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on fire. But that's in a that's a different translation of the word God in there. You have to look in Strong's Concordance to see that, because they were pushing Trinity when they were writing the, translating the King James. But it doesn't show up in the theology of the King James. It's just that the S was dropped, I think, is my personal opinion, on the word God in the book of Daniel. But again, the Jesuits say no. Jesus comes first, they say, in a secret rapture. A lot of people are actually, the Jehovah's Witnesses, in fact. and some others and some strange SDA offshoots are doing it, saying that Jesus Christ is already here. He's just in hiding. Yeah, so now our Lord, our Savior, our King Jesus Christ, who is all about truth, is using deception right now. Is that far gone? Some people are. So sad. So they say, the Jesuits say, Jesus comes first in the secret rapture, and then Satan runs amok all over the planet for 7 years, and in the midst of those 7 years, he breaks a treaty with Israel or whatever. But this one verse proves they lied. So as to shore up their false prophecies, there's a lot more, in fact, of these verses I have. I'll share that in a minute. I have a page on the website all about what happens at the second coming. And so they say he comes in a secret rapture. Satan goes crazy for 7 years. But this one verse proves they lied so as to shore up their false prophecy. It's so easy. I mean, it says even him who's coming is after the working of Satan. But because most won't open their Bibles to verify what their priests and pastors are preaching, they all fall in Satan's camp of lies, and it's their own fault. It's their own fault. They can't. But for those that are confused about the secret rapture and its so-called prophetic theology, I have an in-depth study on the website with all the verses that speak about what happens at the Lord's return, using many different explanations of it from the Word of God, Old and New Testament. Different explanations, different things. But let me put it in the chat room there for you. Boom. Okay, that was like 3 second lag. And we've got, okay, so looks like we're not going to need a WebSocket server, because they were telling me when you get to a certain number, the chat room might crash or just go off or just lock up or something. But we're looking good. So praise the Lord. But still, I am going to put it on a beefy server as soon as I get the video editor built. All right, so for those that are, you know, want that, for those on WTPR, that's what I was going to say. It's remnantofgod.org/wrapped2, because there's a, you know, like a blurb page that I put up first. I don't know why I ever did that. It was years ago, and that was one of the first pages on the website. That's why it has that strange, you know, that light blue color. But it's remnantofgod.org/wrapped2.htm. That's R-A-P like Paul, T like Tom, number 2.htm. And so continuing in 2 Thessalonians verse 10 now, well, chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." You know, jumping back to 9, it's because they all fell for the signs of, you know, lying wonders of Satan, right? Because they received not the love of the truth. That's how easy it is to avoid all this. I mean, look at Revelation 14:12. How easy it is to avoid the mark of the beast? Well, believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, keep his law. But you can't do that unless you understand the scriptures. It's not talking about the Mosaic law. It's talking about the Ten Commandments. That's eternal. So eternal, in fact, that the tablets are underneath the mercy seat where our God sits. How on earth could that ever be abolished at the cross? As a matter of fact, Revelation 22, around middle of the chapter, I think, it says you can't get into heaven unless you keep the Ten Commandments. But they preach out there, oh no, they were abolished, you don't have to keep them, oh, you're trying to get to heaven by your works. No, no man can keep the Ten Commandments. The only way to keep them is to have the Holy Spirit in you, and that's the new covenant. He'll help us keep it. Why? Well, look what happened at Mount Sinai. 140 days Moses was up there, and they broke all 10. So the Lord gave us a way to be able to keep all 10 by writing them on the fleshly tables of the heart. That's why Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. So if they say they're Christians, but they say you won't have to keep the law, they're not Christians. They're Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 type Christians. They want to be called Christians just to take away their shame. So this is why I keep repeating myself about, you know, studying your Bibles every single day. That and the fact that we were talking about earlier about John 14:26. I mean, you know, it's not hard to do. Just make it part of your daily routine, and you'll be surprised how within a short time you'll be looking forward to studying his word, because he's going to start opening things up to your eyes that you know you're blessed when he's doing it. It even shocks you at times how clearly you can understand things that were like, oh man, I got out there with a pickaxe, I'm trying to chop away at this rock of truth, and I can't even get a pebble to fly off. But now, it's like you're cracking it in half, you're getting all this truth, and it's just coming in you. It's just, oh, praise his mighty name. And so, what was too difficult to understand before is like, milk now. And so, verse 11, and for this cause, now, everybody knows where this is going, right? The strong delusion thing. But let me finish, just let me share the verse 11 and 12. I'll just finish it out here. It says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. I mean, if you don't have a love for the truth, then the Bible to you is just, a doorstop or something you dust off when the preacher comes by. It's not really that important to you. If it's not that important, why did the Creator of all that is seen and unseen made sure that his prophets would put pen to paper so that you could read his word? It's because it's the basic information before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. It's the only way to get home. It's the map to salvation. It's Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. It's anything you've ever want to know about Jesus Christ. Yeah, Genesis to Revelation, right there. And if you want a little bit more inside information, go to the unedited books of Spirit of Prophecy. And so, just after reading this, seeing about the strong delusion, this is why we see what we see today, where most people will believe easy-to-prove lies as if they are truth. You know, like the secret rapture lie. Literally hundreds of millions of people actually believe that lie. When there's not a single, you know, when there is a single Bible verse that could show them there is no secret rapture at all, like I shared a moment ago about Jesus Christ coming after the working of Satan. They say he comes before. They all go to heaven and hang out because all the crazy stuff's happened down here in the tribulation period. Okay, so we're supposed to completely ignore the fact that between the years 538 A.D. and 1798 A.D. that Jesus Christ called the Great Tribulation is... Jesus somehow missed that one, or the preachers don't preach it anymore and say, no, cover that one up. Why? Because if you know about it, you know who Antichrist is. You know who the enemy of Christianity is. The Roman Catholic popes. Not the Catholic people, although they are used by the Pope sometimes with the civil authorities, because the Pope always does. They always get somebody else to do his dirty work. Look what he did with Hitler. Look what he's doing right now with the Muslims. Same thing. And so... they're going to be here. That they will all be here when it gets scary. And when I say scary, it is only going to be frightening because we're already in it. If you think about it, we're already in the little time of trouble right before the plagues hit. And so it's only going to be frightening to those people that don't study the Word of God because they really don't know what's happening next. They don't know what's going on. We were talking about this the other night in our, when we finished the day. We're reading from Spirit of Prophecy. And it's nice to know in advance what's going to happen. So when they started talking about the vaccine, okay, that's a little annoying. But then when they mentioned the aborted babies and they mentioned the pork, then we knew. Yeah, they purposely have to mention the babies in the vaccine and the pork. Why? Well, because the babies, aborted baby cells in there is going to force the people to make a religious decision whether or not to get the vaccine. And for the really strong Christians who also keep Sabbath and don't eat unclean foods, yeah, they're going to have a problem with the pork. And some people say, oh, the Jews too. No, the Jews have already been keeping Sunday holy for years. They've even declared a few years ago that it's okay to break the real Sabbath. Rome's already got them. Want proof? I think 80% of them already got the vaccine, and they all know about the pork in it. So it's no big deal to them. But the real Christians will know. Right? And so they don't want to defile their bodies with the pork, and they certainly don't want dead babies injected into them, their cells, right? It's a religious decision. So why do that? Why set that all up? Well, look at the mark of the beast. Every time it's mentioned in the scriptures, the word worship is right there with it. Satan knows what he's doing. But if we didn't read our Bibles, if we didn't study the scriptures or understand the prophecy or even the symbols behind it, yeah, this would be a little scary. The fear of the unknown can be very intense for people. What is going on out here? You know, they don't know, but... but if you know what's coming, yeah, it can still be a bit rough at times, but knowing what's coming in advance actually makes it easy to prepare, you know, in the spiritual as well as the physical realm. You know, the Lord's already revealed to us how we're going to get around the vaccine passport. We don't need it. He's got us in every nation already. We got more, you know, there's Seventh-day remnant people in every single nation on the planet, and the Pope can only support about 175 of them. But that's by force, political force. That's how he got in. We got in by love, the love of Christ. You know, if they don't meet Christ, they can't, you know, It's just not part of the, the movement, if you will. And so, to close out this study for this Sabbath, if you are new to this truth, if you take anything away from this study, take this. One surefire way to prove who the real God is that all you need to do is realize that all these false gods cannot create, and they certainly cannot prophesy a single peep. And this is why Rome has their statues bleeding and crying oil. They want you to rely on the statues because they can't prophesy, and then when they look at the stone, they know, well, common sense, they can't prophesy. And so it keeps them in the dark in that area, but to keep them in the pews, yeah, get those statues to bleed or cry oil. They know their false gods are useless unless they can make the people believe there is some sort of living spirit inside them statues. Now do you see how a great delusion can be for some people that allows them to believe a lie? I mean, look at the self-lies. I mean, look at the people that get the vaccines. If they're Christians, praise God, the Lord will heal them. Everything will be okay. Real Christians, I'm saying. They just didn't have the inside information. Like, they didn't dig into the prophecies as well. Or maybe they're just going to be like the kind of Christians that are going to be used during the loud cry to get the truth out and bring as many people in, and they're going to be martyred before the plagues begin because they don't have that which is necessary to stand with the Gideon band through all seven plagues, right? But this grand delusion, I mean, it's just people out there are... they're lying to themselves. Okay, fine, yeah. And they're Christians. Now, these are the weak ones, the foolish virgins, if you will. Actually, there's SDAs, because the foolish virgins, you can't even look at the Protestants or Catholics for that. Because they don't even keep the Sabbath. They're not even part of that mix. And so they're looking at it, and they're saying, okay, fine, there's an aborted baby in there, like Doug Batchelor. Get up there, or other people are saying, go ahead and get the vaccine, or if you got it, you can detox. You cannot detox. This isn't a vaccine. It's gene therapy. You cannot detox. There's preachers out there saying, making videos, in fact, saying, these are all the things you got to do to detox from the vaccine. No, it's not going to work. It's not a vaccine. I mean, even the CDC admitted it's gene therapy. But the thing is, they know the babies are in there, and these are Christians. They know the pork is in there, and these are obedient, supposedly obedient Christians. But they're going to believe the lie that it's okay to go for it because they don't want to have to deal with having issues with buying and selling. That's the other reason for the religious decisions. Why? Well, the first way they enforce the mark is by buying and selling, and the Pope wants that done by 2027. And then 3 years after that, he wants his one world government, which is the death decree that happens a year prior. Or within a day, prophecy says. The death decree goes forth, and then within a day, which is a year in prophecy, within. So it doesn't mean it's a complete year. That's when the seven plagues fall. And so the Roman Catholic is taught not to trust or even study the Bible. I know this because I was a devout Roman Catholic for 29 years. And if it wasn't for the Baptists coming up to me and telling me I was going to hell, and every time they did it, they had a Bible in their hands, I figured, look, I know how to read. So I'm going to read this Bible, and I'm going to shut you up. I know I'm in the right church. I was Catholic at the time, right? And, yeah, as everybody knows, within 18 months, I found out they were telling me the church, the truth, and I joined their church, Baptist church. I didn't become a member, but except for with Pastor Russ, but he wasn't. He was Baptist in theology except for the once under grace, always under grace, or once saved, always saved. He would not believe, because I didn't believe it either. That's what linked us together and became friends, because I believed everything else. I just didn't get, the thing about Sunday yet, the Sunday Sabbath. And so because the Catholics and everybody else refused to do that which is required to know where the truth is, open the Bible, the lies of Rome naturally become truth to them. Now here's the scary thing. When the plagues began, everybody remember what Amos said? I think it's Amos chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, if you want to put in a room there, Sean. They're finally going to, because they're hearing us, right? And every single solitary person that surrounds us at Plague 6 are going to be calling themselves Christians. How do I know that? Well, because the fake Jesus got them to worship him. Now they're all, even the Muslims and the atheists, they're all, I'll follow this guy anywhere. He's healing my grandma and everybody, all these fake healings. Well, they're real healings, but it's only demons letting go in certain areas to make them feel like they're healed. And so Thanks. Amos, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Okay, that's kind of like happening now, isn't it? They don't want to hear it. Verse 12 looks like it's totally happening after plague one. Because it says, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it." Because there's not enough room to finish the verse. I'm thinking that's what it is. And shall not find it. Sean put it in the bottom there. The thing is, the reason that they seek it to and fro afterwards is because they're part of the loud cry, just like everybody else. You know, they're not participating in it, but they're hearing it because it goes global, right? All 200 and something nations hear it, and so they hear it, and they realize it has to do with the Bible, and they realize everything that we were saying was true, even if it's just your kids hearing you over the years telling you about all this stuff. Please keep reading. Or people that come to our church, and I keep on saying, please read your Bible every day. They keep hearing it over and over and over and over and over. Finally, when the plagues begin, they go, it's happening exactly like as those people said. Yeah, I'm going to open up the Bible. Well, now it's too late. It's done. You can't, because whoever's unjust is going to remain unjust. It's right there in Revelation. And so once the plagues begin, if you haven't opened the Bible before them, you're guaranteed damnation. You might live all the way up to plague six. We don't know when you're going to die, because if you think about it, that's really up to Satan, because he has absolute control now of the planet. Now, Christ can, of course, change certain things however he feels is necessary. Like if they're coming, if people are coming towards God's people to try to cause them harm, he'll stop them. You know, the weapons fall uselessly. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. All those things are going to happen for us. He's going to keep his hedge about us, but the rest, no. You know, they're going to drop like flies. So they're going to go do everything they can. But now they're believing the lies of Rome. Then those lies naturally are going to become truth to them. You know, the strong delusion. Remember, he says, then now you're going to be allowed to believe a lie as if it's truth. That's why I've been saying for 30 years, we're in the age of lying. Satan's last hurrah. And this is especially true when the dying God of Rome can manifest himself inside statues to convince them their religion is real. And, you know, one would think back when Elijah exposed the prophets of Baal that they would have preferred at least a smattering of all the demonic manifestations that are happening so widespread today, like the bleeding statues or even the rapping or the manifestations like your dead grandma at the end of your bed at 4 a.m. You know, could you imagine if the prophets of Baal back then knew about this? What's happening now? Or if they... Man, I mean... But even if they did have that opportunity to make some kind of strange demonic manifestation thousands of years ago when they were crying out to Baal all day long while they're cutting themselves in the hopes of showing the people their God was actually a God, you know, because Elijah said, yeah, you guys do that all day long. What the Lord did, because nothing happened. They're yelling and screaming, falling and cutting themselves just like the Catholics and the Muslims do this time of the year, you know, Ramadan and Easter. And so... But what the Lord did after Elijah prayed for, I don't know, a few sentences, for just a few moments, and that still would have moved everyone to walk away from those false prophets anyway. Nary a fake miracle, no matter how graphic it may be, can hold a candle to the smallest miracle from the loving God of the Bible that we worship. Hope and pray you are blessed. Be back in a minute.